Hi, everybody. I'm Angela. And I'll talk today about our system called Mainstream. So Mainstream is a system for automatically tuning and deploying concurrent video analysis applications. So I'll start off by giving an example where Mainstream can be of some help. So imagine that you have a camera generating a video stream of this mall parking lot. And attached to the camera are some computational resources that's analyzing the stream in real time. So you can imagine that there are a lot of ways that you want to use this video feed. So for instance, the mall itself might want to create a parking violation monitor. But there might also be other third-party vendors that want to independently develop applications as well. So a startup might want to create a parking spot finder app. Insurance companies might want to monitor for fender benders. And maybe the police that day are looking for a particular white Camry, and they want to know if it's in this parking lot. So advances in machine learning, and in particular, deep neural nets, DNNs, have allowed applications like these to arise. But to enable a multi-tenant edge deployment like this still brings about a lot of systems and infrastructure challenges. And that's what Mainstream is focused on, and that's what I'll be talking about today. So Mainstream addresses two main challenges. The first one is that time sharing these concurrent DNNs makes inference really slow. So while you may be able to run a single DNN on your edge device in real time, as you add more applications, the DNNs are going to start contending for resources, and you're ultimately going to start dropping frames. Instead, in Mainstream, we're going to find computation that's redundant between the applications and then share that computation, thus reducing resource contention and allowing you to process at a faster frame rate. Now, this turns out to be a very important optimization to do if you want your deployment to scale. But in order to actually optimize for this, we have to collaborate between applications. And so that brings us to our second challenge, which is that these DNNs are typically tuned in isolation from each other and at development time. So this is fundamentally the wrong time to be performing this optimization. Because at development time, you're not necessarily going to know what resources you're going to run on, and you certainly shouldn't be expected to know what other applications are going to be running alongside of you. So in Mainstream, we optimize for DNN computation sharing, and we do this at runtime, where we can adapt to the resources available and what applications are running. So these are the two main techniques that I'll talk about today. For one, I'll talk about where does this opportunity for sharing computation come from. And then I'll talk about how we optimize for DNN sharing and how we defer that decision to runtime. And ultimately, I'll show how Mainstream performs against some default static approaches. So I'll start with the first one. Oh, it stopped. Oh, we're back. Okay. So to make this more concrete, I'll first start with an example video analysis pipeline. So to start with, we have a camera generating frames, for instance, at 30 frames per second. And each frame is going to be processed on the edge device through a series of computations. So first, the frame will be decoded from H.264. We'll then transform it in some ways. Maybe we'll crop it. Maybe we'll normalize it. And then we'll actually perform the analysis step. So in Mainstream, we focus on image classification. And that's performed using a DNN. Then the output of the DNN will be post-processed in some way. So another important thing to note about this pipeline is that the DNN is the primary cost of the pipeline. And not only is it very computationally expensive, but when you add more applications to your deployment, it's very easy to share the initial pre-processing steps for each frame. But the DNN is task-specific. So this isn't a very scalable approach to deploying multiple DNNs. And I should say that in mainstream, we're not focused on reducing the latency of a single DNN, but making adding latencies very scalable, or sorry, adding DNNs more scalable. So in mainstream, instead, we're going to share a large portion of the DNN and then publish those outputs to smaller task-specific DNNs. So this is essentially a faster way to run the same 3NNs that I showed before. And now if you wanted to add a fourth application, you would just need to add like a small task-specific DNN to the end. And so it's very low marginal cost. Okay, so now the question becomes, how do we actually find that shared stem? How do we find redundancy between DNNs? So to do this, we take advantage of how people train their DNNs right now. So people train their DNNs using something called transfer learning, which I'll explain next. So this is an example DNN. A DNN is made up of nodes, and each node represents a mathematical operation. So at inference time, you take a trained DNN, you provide an input, which in our case is the raw frame, and then you transform it with each of the mathematical operations, and you'll get a result. So what I should also mention is that each of the operations also comes along with an associated weight. And that weight is going to be determined at training time. So during training time, what you typically do is you take weights that are randomized, and then you'll feed it a bunch of labeled examples where you know what the answer should be, and slowly move the weights towards a state where you get a good result. But this isn't how most people actually train their DNNs, because to train weights from scratch takes a lot of computational resources and also a lot of data, which most people don't have for their task. So instead, what you do is something called transfer learning, where you take a task that, or DNN that was already trained for an old task, and then fine-tune it for your new task. So here is an old pre-trained network. We take off the old task-specific layer, add our new task-specific layer, and then when we train, we hold a subset of the layers frozen so that those weights don't change, and then we fine-tune our task-specific layer. And even though this is the default approach, you don't necessarily have to only fine-tune the last layer. In this case, we've held three layers frozen and fine-tuned two. So the important thing for mainstream here is that if you have two networks that were pre-trained off the same base DNN, whatever layers that were held frozen during training time will be identical. And that's where you get the redundancy from. And we actually expect this to happen pretty organically because there's only a handful of industry standard DNN architectures and an even smaller handful of data sets used to pre-train them. But in mainstream, we'll provide the coordination and remember that those layers are identical at runtime. So when we actually perform inference, every frame is gonna only run through the shared stem once. Those outputs will be published to task-specific layers, and we'll get the output. So that's where the opportunity for sharing comes from and how you take advantage of it. But the question is, how do we actually optimize what amount of sharing we want and what amount of specialization we want? And right now, what happens is that it's independently determined for each application. And it's determined at development time. So the application developer, when training their task, is going to determine how many layers they want to specialize, which then dictates how much we're allowed to share at runtime. So instead, what we want to do is we want to optimize for this dependent on the resources available and what applications are deployed. So this is really the crux of the mainstream work. So next we'll talk about how we perform this DNN sharing and how we defer that optimization at runtime so we can adapt to the resources available in the set of apps. So to optimize for DNN sharing, we first have to understand the trade-offs that come from sharing and specialization. So that's what I'll talk about next. Okay, so here I have two ends of the spectrum. On the left, we are sharing as much as possible and only specializing that last layer. And on the right, we're not sharing anything. So on the left, we have less computation to do, there's gonna be less contention, and so we're gonna get a higher throughput. Whereas on the right, during training time, we specialize the entire network for our task, which means that our model is gonna have the best accuracy possible. So the question really becomes, do you wanna analyze your video stream at a higher frame rate, or do you wanna analyze every frame more accurately? So we make that decision based on how those two metrics affect your final application performance. So we'll talk about how we actually measure application performance. In the paper, we focus mostly on the case study of event detection. So this is an example application of performing event detection. So this is a video stream from the train tracks next to CMU. An example application is that we want to monitor for environmental pollution from the train, which means our app needs to detect every time the front of the train comes by. A train will come by very soon. There it is. We need to detect that. So the three metrics that we're going to use to measure the performance of this application are three common machine learning metrics. First, we'll measure the event recall, which is what percentage of the events are actually detected. The precision, which is out of the things that we said were trains, how many were actually trains. And the F1 score, which is the harmonic mean between precision and recall. And so the next thing we need to understand is how the model accuracy and your throughput affects your application's F1 score. So to give some intuition about this, I have this downsampled stream of a train coming by. So this is 5 frames of the stream, and the train is bounded in the red box. So like I said, our goal is to detect the front of this train. And so we need to accurately classify at least one of the frames outlined in green. So it's easy to see how your model accuracy affects your application's accuracy. Because if you analyze one of these frames, you want to be able to correctly classify it as a train. But your throughput also matters as well. Because imagine that you only see one out of every 5 frames. In this case, you have a 60% chance of just missing the event altogether. If you see every other frame, then maybe you do actually get to analyze a frame of the event, but this frame is really hard to detect. And even if you have a very good model, you might miss it anyway. If you get to analyze every frame, then not only do you analyze a frame of the event, but your model might get multiple chances at detecting the event accurately. So every marginal increase in throughput should provide an added benefit to your application, just like accuracy does. So we formalize this intuition into an analytical model that can be found in the paper, but this is really what allows us to efficiently and accurately optimize for DNN sharing. Okay, so next I'll talk about what mainstream actually is. I'll go through the architecture. So mainstream consists of three components: the trainer, the scheduler, and the runner. So from a user's perspective, what I'm going to do to run mainstream is I will take my labeled data set and train it with mTrainer. So importantly, this can still be done with full control of my data. I don't have to centralize my data anywhere, and I can train my network whenever I want. So once I'm ready to deploy my application, I'm going to send the outputs of mTrainer to mScheduler. So mScheduler is run globally across all deployed applications, and it's run on the cluster. And for every deployed application, it's going to determine how much of the network to specialize and how much of the network to share. So those results are then going to be sent to mRunner. And this is the module that's actually running on the edge device and performing the video analysis. And so the outputs of mRunner are then going to be returned to the user. Okay, so I'm going to focus on talking about mTrainer because this is what allows us to defer that optimization to runtime. So like I said, mTrainer takes a labeled data set, and while a typical trainer would use that to train a model, what mTrainer does is it takes the labeled data set and trains multiple models that perform that task. And the difference between each of the models is how much of the network we held frozen during training time. And so then we store the models themselves, as well as some metadata about the models, including the estimated accuracy and some information about the data set itself. So what this allows us to do is that if at runtime we decide that we want to share 80% of the network, then we can just go back and we can take the models that had 80% of the networks frozen during training time. So now I'll talk about how mainstream performs against some default static approaches. So what we're going to do here is we're going to run concurrent image classification pipelines, like the ones I showed earlier. And image classification is going to be done using mobile nets. And the pipelines are going to be detecting one of seven events. So they're going to detect if there's a pedestrian in the scene, if there's a bus in the scene, a red car, et cetera. The two static approaches that we'll compare against is max sharing and no sharing, both of which are very default approaches. All right, so this is the only graph I'll show. But on the x-axis, we're increasing the number of concurrent applications up to 25. And on the y-axis, we're showing the average event F1 score across the applications. And higher is better, one is the maximum F1 score. In the red, we have mainstream. In the blue, max sharing. And in the green, no sharing. So no sharing has the benefit of never having to sacrifice model accuracy. But as you add applications, the throughput degrades really quickly, and you start missing frames. With max sharing, we have the opposite problem. So it's a very scalable approach, and we're able to retain a very high throughput even with a large number of applications. But we held so much of the network frozen during training time that the models aren't very good. Mainstream is a mix of both. So sometimes it decides to sacrifice a little bit of accuracy. Sometimes it sacrifices a little bit of throughput, always in a way that maximally utilizes your resources. And an important takeaway of the results is that mainstream, in almost all cases, will greatly outperform a static approach. In these two cases, there's two cases where it won't sorry, compared to these two static approaches, there's two cases where that won't be the case. So if you have one application, mainstream will perform the same as no sharing. And if you have a very large amount of applications where your resources are saturated, mainstream will perform the same as max sharing. And in between is where we have the benefit of performing the optimization. So in conclusion, today I talked about how mainstream is able to provide a scalable multi-tenant deployment of concurrent video analysis applications. And we do this by optimizing for DNN computation sharing. And we defer this optimization to runtime so that we can adapt to the resources available and the set of deployed applications. As a result, we see that mainstream greatly outperforms default static approaches while never performing worse. Thank you, and I will take any questions.
Thanks, Angela. Question?
Just a quick question. If I'm not mistaken, you mentioned that the M trainer essentially trains several models. Does that affect the training time in total for a single application compared to the static approach?
Yeah, so it does. So you do have to train multiple models, which will take more time than a single model. But there are two things that make this not so bad. Well, I should say three. So for one, you still get to run it on the cluster, not on the edge. The second thing is that we're performing fine-tuning, which is a lot faster than training a network from scratch. And so that's already a pretty accelerated process. And the third thing is that when you actually develop one of these applications, typically you're actually searching the space already to see how many layers do you want to specialize and what are your hyperparameters. And here we're just more formalizing that process and keeping all that information for later use.
Okay, thanks. If there are no other questions, I have another one.
Yeah, please.
Or you have a question.
I have a question. So for your mainstream, do you assume that the number of applications is fixed? So for example, in my mobile phone, I can have 7 applications or 5 applications. So for each scenario, have you already trained a fixed model, or you train several model variants and save all of these in your mobile phone?
Yeah, so for one thing, there's not a fixed number of applications, so we'll rerun the scheduler anytime an application comes or goes. But we do save multiple models that perform the same task, but that's not saved. They wouldn't be saved on the edge device, for instance, your mobile phone. That would still be saved in the cluster, and it would only be sent to the edge device if we actually run it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Me again. So in that sense, I guess I'm wondering about the security implications of this approach, where, you know, if you happen to be sharing a certain number of layers, is it the case that you can sort of, by creating an application that sort of bloats those layers, does that mean that your scheduler can detect these kinds of things and then isolate the different DNNs on the fly, or...
Sorry, what do you mean bloats those layers?
Okay, so I'm not very much familiar in the ML terminology, but I've heard of sort of creating these artificial DNNs where you can sort of take one data set and modify it in such a way so that you can sort of make the model perform badly. So what I'm wondering is that if you happen to see these kinds of cases, and now that you're running these several applications and then some of them share certain layers, would it be possible, let's say, by creating this weird model, I would be able to sort of DDoS your scheduler?
I see, okay. So in that particular case, we don't have that failure model just because the base DNNs that we use are industry standard. So that's not user specific.
Right.
Isolated from anyone else, you're just gonna still fine tune your network and it'll be the same no matter what anybody else is training. So that particular example isn't a problem for us. But in a multi-tenant approach, there are a couple of failure cases that we can imagine, and we can talk about it.
Yeah, thanks.
have a quick question about the evaluation part. So do you have a evaluation on the speed acceleration part? Because you show the figure about the accuracy. I want to see if you share the most part of a network, so and given a real world workload, what would be the speed up of, on your edge side? By the way, what are your edge? Edge means, is what do you mean on the mobile device or something like AP, Wi-Fi AP or the cellular tower or something, or talk about the cloud side?
Yeah, so somewhere in between the first two. So the edges, edge nodes that we're using are like small mini PCs essentially. So you can imagine like an Intel NUC or a single GPU.
Okay.
And then, so the first question was what kind of the latency speed, benefit
the,
do we
the,
get?
Yeah, the speed acceleration.
Got you. Yeah, so we don't increase the, or decrease the latency of a single DNN, but we just make it so that as you add more DNNs, your latency of a single DNN stays the same. So the latency of what you would get on your particular network is essentially what you would get with max sharing, just because it's so scalable.
Okay, but in terms of the edge, what is the benefit? Is because you're using less resources because you share the model?
Yeah, so there's less resource contention, which means that if you're running, you know, 30 models, then they can still run as quickly as they can, as quickly as they want to keep up with the stream.
I see, okay. Thank you. Next talk.
Thanks.
Yes, I have a very simple question. So is this target at online video analysis?
Yeah, so we're targeting streaming video analysis, and we want to keep up with the stream.
Thanks, that's all.
Thanks.
Well, let's thank Angela again. Thank you.